No sound. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon and Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. They were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not yet understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. If I was going to title our reflection this morning, I would give it one of two titles: Death is Not the End, or The End is Not the End. Both of those would be more than appropriate for today's readings. Mary thought it was the end when Jesus had died. They all thought it was the end when Jesus died on the cross. He was being wrapped in the precious robes and the linen and the spices, and he was placed in the tomb, but then they had to leave because it was the Sabbath. And so Mary and other women come back on what for us is the Sunday morning, and they are getting ready to continue the embalming process, the wrapping of the body. And then we have this event, this incredible event. where they find out that death is not the end of the story. The death of Jesus is not the end of life. Now, in my preparation, I found that a guy by the name of Bob Dylan. Anyone knows around in the 60s, 70s, 80s? Yeah. Yeah. Some people are looking back at me on. Bob Dylan wrote a song. It took about 6 years. He recorded it, and it took about 6 years before he released it. It seems to fit today's theme beautifully because the title of the song is Death is Not the End. Now, my son, who is a great Nick Cave fan, would be absolutely amazed if he found out that I was featuring Nick Cave in today's sermon time. Anyone else know Nick Cave in the Bad Suits? Anyone know Kylie Minogue? Well, we're about to hear them.
You're sad and when you're lonely and you haven't got a friend, just remember that death is not the end.
And all that you held sacred falls down and does not mend. Just remember that death is not the end.
Not the end, not the end. Just remember that death is not the end.
When you're standing on the crossroads that you cannot comprehend, just remember that death is not the end.
Just remember that death is not the end.
And there's no one there to comfort you with a helping hand to lend. Just remember that death is not the end.
Not the end. Not the end. Just remember that death is not the end.
Not the end. It was the end. Oh, I obviously clicked the end of it. I wasn't going to play the song right through in any case, but that's beside the point. Imagine for a moment that you're in Mary's circumstance and you've come to that term and you believe it is the end. But then things unfold that you realize there is a further twist in this story. You don't know what it is, but there is another twist yet to come. Well, the first question that I would like to raise this morning is, what does it mean to you at this point in your life that death is not the end on the Easter story? That there is hope for you and I in the Christian story of Easter, is basically what I would sum up the answer to be. But now, as we search for other answers in this, I've given you that slip of paper. We're not going to be able to work all of the way through it this morning, but I invite you to take that sheet of paper home with you, and later today, or maybe this week, or maybe when you reach into your back pocket and you pull out this crumpled piece of paper and you wonder, well, where did this come from? Or ladies, if you reach into your handbag in a couple of weeks' time and right down at the bottom is this crumpled piece of paper and you pull it out and you wonder, oh, that was the piece of paper we got at Easter time. I better sit down and reflect on the story. Reread that passage from the Gospel of John. Put yourself back into the position. And now let's have a closer look. The first of the questions that you will see there. What can we learn from John 20, 1-18 about how we deal with grief and the loss of hope? That is a huge question. It is a very big question. As a matter of fact, I'd just like to gloss over that for a minute and look at the other questions on the paper and come back. The second question, and as I ask the questions, if anyone has suggestions, I invite you to call them out. I want to make this as interactive as possible. Why would Mary remain at the empty tomb while Peter and the other disciple returned to their homes? Why would she stay there? The other two went home.
She's looking for answers.
She's seeing how the story is going to unfold. She wants to know where Jesus has gone, where his body has gone.
Maybe, Bob, she's remembering a little bit more thoughtfully the questions that Jesus said that I'll come back than some of the other disciples were.
She could be the first with that intuitive thought. Hey, he said this several times that he was going to come back. Any other ideas? A strong faith that something was going to happen. Maybe Jesus wanted the first to find out the good news was one who had been so important during the course of his ministry, and his ministry so important to her. And in a very patriarchal society, maybe it was a good thing that the first to hear and to speak with the risen Lord was a woman. What about the next question? What might be some of the reasons why Mary does not recognize Jesus in the garden? Well, the text says that she was crying. The tears in her eyes could blur her vision, could it not?
Maybe the light was behind her.
Maybe the light was behind her. It was dawn. It was just before dawn.
She didn't expect to see him. She didn't expect to see him.
Didn't expect it. She didn't expect it to be Jesus. Is she the only one that doesn't recognize the risen Lord? No. Who else? On the road to Emmaus later in the day, Cleopas and the other disciple that's with him do not recognize Jesus at all, and they walked an incredible distance before Jesus was invited into their home, and it was only the breaking of the bread. We read that in Luke's Gospel, that incident. So, Mary is not the only one who doesn't recognize Jesus. It could be through her own grief. She does not expect it. It's the last thing on her mind. What her attention is, where has he been taken? That's the major point. So, what is it that changes so that she does recognize him?
She hears the voice.
He calls out to her. In what language does she reply? Aramaic. The local language that Jesus would have been speaking to the disciples in, the Aramaic. Rabboni. She recognizes him as the teacher. You can say something?
He calls her by name, which a teacher does.
Calls her by name. Names are very important, aren't they? Names are so interlinked. It's one of the most fascinating things, that's one of the first things that we are given apart from life. We are given a name. And that name becomes so important to us in the recognition of who we are. And Jesus calls her by name, Mary. She recognizes him. The other disciples later in the day on the road to Emmaus recognize him through action. The breaking of the bread. Brett?
I think it's interesting that Jesus calls Mary and Mary doesn't
find
Jesus. It's the action of Jesus that does
the work. Yeah, for those on this side of the church, it was the fact that Jesus found Mary. He sought her out. It wasn't she was looking for him in a different way, in a different state, different circumstance, but it was Jesus who sought her out to speak to her. Jesus seeks each one of us out, and I believe speaks to each one of us. Jesus is the one that seeks us out. He knows us by name. The fifth question, what are some times when God has been present with you, but you have not recognized that presence until later? What do we call that? Hindsight, isn't it? When something has occurred and that light bulb moment comes on at some later stage, and we then realize what a God circumstance something has been. For Mary, this God moment is the one that is recorded, because she goes off and she tells others of that God moment, of that Jesus moment, of that encounter. Now, all of us have God moments. Part of, I hope, your reflection upon this passage, that you will be able to write some of those God moments down and look back at them and say, if only I'd realised. If only I'd realised sooner God's hand in something, I would have been there earlier. But it's, I believe, things happen in God's time. God's patient. God waits, and at times waits. And waits and prompts. So now let's come back to that first question. What can we learn from this gospel passage about how we deal with grief and the loss of hope? What is there in this passage? Tracy? God is with us, and that is the great hope. So there should be no loss of hope. When we lose a loved one, or we are in a grief circumstance, for whatever that grief may be, God is there. Only a few days ago here in this church and through churches throughout the world, people remembered the price that Jesus paid for you and I. And God was there in that moment when his son was on the cross. And if God can be in that moment when his one and only son is on the cross, then God can be with us at every moment. The really good times, the really hard times. So, grief and the loss of hope. Throughout our ministry, we have been involved in many grief circumstances. And part of the Christian's responsibility, I believe, is to find the glimmers of hope in circumstances. because they are there, because God is there, because Jesus is there, and the power of the Holy Spirit is there. So, in a sentence, death is not the end. There is more to come. There is the heavenly banquet. There is the life after death that Jesus came to tell us of, and that has been the great hope of so many people through the ages. So, death is not the end.